All right, you're cool, Greg. Can't get to the phone at the moment. Just leave a message. I'll call you back.
Please leave a detailed message after the tone. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Mate, where are you? We've got Jordan McArdle coming on in a minute. I don't know where you are. This is a disaster. Now, I've heard of long table lunches and long lunches in the afternoon, but you're just taking it to the next level. All right, we're going to have to go without him. All right, we start wearing purple with Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restump Podcast. We're lucky enough today to be joined by a man who has travelled from Horsham to Alice Springs to Darwin, has landed in Perth. He now specialises in cricket and football, and more so for us today, underage junior football. That is Mr. Jordan McArdle from the West Australian. Welcome, mate.
G'day, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Mate, absolute pleasure, and thanks for giving up your time. We really appreciate it. Not really having that depth of knowledge ourselves on pretty much anything when it comes to football, but getting on here and giving our opinion anyway. It's really good to have someone who does it for a living and gets paid by someone. And good self. I mean, you've started covering PSA footy, Colts footy in a really big way in the West Australian in the last couple of years. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and how that started and how you got involved?
Yeah, I've been doing the draft stuff for probably a few years now, but it's certainly ramped up over the last couple of years. We've incorporated live streams on thewest.com.au now. So yeah, anything from Colts to PSA footy to even Waffle Seniors this year, and we were lucky enough to get a couple of the under-19 trial games for WA as well, which was fantastic. I ended up doing a couple for AFL.com as well with the WAV South Australia game. So, it's been a cool couple of years.
It's so good to give accessibility to people because, you know, it's not always easy to get out to local footy, whether it be, you know, the Thursday afternoon games or the early Saturday morning games, but to have them online so, you know, people who do have an interest but maybe don't have the time at the particular time the game's on but can still get around it and educate themselves and have a look and see who's playing, and especially the young kids, what a good resource to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this year especially, a lot of AFL fans this part of the world are really interested to see what talents around Fremantle. We'll go into it a little bit more in depth later in the podcast, but obviously Fremantle have got pick 6 and pick 8 at the moment. West Coast have got pick 10. The Dockers have also got pick 19 as well. So, you know, four of the top 20 picks at the moment between the two WA clubs. Obviously, neither made finals this year, so I think fans look for that, almost hope to see what's around in the next generation. And there's plenty to get excited about from a WA point of view. There's hopes of, you know, around the 10 to 15 mark in terms of kids from WA getting picked up. And, you know, we've been really lucky over here to only lose really half a season over the last two to COVID. We played the 9-game home and away season plus finals last year, and you know, pretty much a full season this year compared to what we saw over east with the NAB League. You know, some kids over there have only played 6 to 8 games over the last 2 years. So it's a shame to see over there with COVID and that in Victoria and New South Wales, Queensland. But from a WA point of view, we've been really lucky, and that could be the difference between, you know, 10, 12 kids getting drafted and, you know, maybe that little bit more, that 15 or 16 class. So, you know, hopefully it sees a couple of extra kids get drafted in the draft next month.
They've definitely got a bit more exposed form, don't they? Especially against the South Australian kids. They'd be sick of seeing each other, you'd think, by the time the year rolls around.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the SA had a really good side on the park, especially in that first game when the likes of Vaughan Francis and Draper and Wanganeen Malia and those sort of guys who are all rated really highly and have played some senior footy this year, to not only play against them but beat them 3 times out of 3 is an outstanding achievement. And I'm sure a few AFL recruiters would have kept an eye on a few kids, and you know that could be the difference as well. You know, a big game in front of a few more fans and a few more recruiters might have got a couple of kids over the line.
Well, it must have been a thrill for a lot of the kids to play the curtain raiser at the grand final. I mean, we had lunch at Belmont beforehand, but got across a little bit early and caught the second half. There was a decent crowd in place, and what a day to be out on the ground and having a crack. And how could you not be excited and performing under those lights, so to speak?
Oh,
it would tell the recruiters a lot how they performed under pressure and under the spotlight, right?
Yeah, spot on, especially towards the end of the game when it was really going down to the wire and the crowd started to fill up a bit and make quite a bit of noise. So Jacob Van Rooyen, a Claremont product, and actually a Freo supporter, lifelong Freo supporter, he kicked a match-winning goal late in the game, lived every kid's dream there, kicking a match-winning goal on Optus Stadium. So, it was a fantastic game and a fantastic three games against South Australia. Yeah, the first game was a little bit of a blowout in the end, but the other two were certainly right down to the wire and could have gone either way, really. So, yeah, fantastic few games and just great thinking by the WA Footy Commission and the sample to see through a little bit of clear air with the borders and pull the trigger. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can see it happening more into the future as well. The interest in junior footy and, you know, not every club can contend for a premiership every year, so people are starting to take more interest in who's next and who's next and who's next. I've had a bit to do with PSA footy, and I'm often interested because I haven't had a lot to do with Colts footy. Can I get your take on, you know, maybe the difference in standard, the difference in resource allocation in those two junior formats? I mean, you guys cover them both, and obviously the draft pool is made up from, you know, both those sources of young kids. Can you give us a bit of a comment on how you see those two competitions and the way they're the same or different?
Yeah, I think the main difference from what I've seen is probably depth. You know, PSA does have a lot of quality kids and, you know, a lot of the top WA prospects have played a lot of PSA footy. You look at Neil Erasmus, who's a chance to be WA's first name read out. Jesse Motloff as well, who's obviously tied to Fremantle for the Next Generation Academy. Corey Warner. And then even, you know, Gus Sheldrick as well, who's just, you know, climbed the draft charts this year. He's had a fantastic year. A Christchurch boy like yourself, Brett. So
that's right.
A little bit to do with him over the last few years. He's a fantastic young kid.
Well, so when it was his midfield coach a couple of years ago, he stagnated a little bit. But Rob took back over and he's right at the ship. So yeah.
As long as you don't cop the blame for that, mate, that's the main thing.
Blame apportions a big thing at private schools, so I wouldn't rule myself out being apportions and blame for some poor form or non-drafting. That's all right. So if we look forward to that first...
I do feel like that was the main thing, the depth. You see the Colts side probably have that little bit more depth, whereas, you know, maybe the 15th to 22nd, 23rd player at PSA level might not be as strong, so that's probably where it does fall away a little bit, but it is an outstanding competition. I'm not taking anything away from the PSA there. They've got some fantastic resources in terms of getting really quality coaches on board, obviously scholarships as well to get some really exciting kids on board. You look at some of the coaching staff across the board and
it's insane, isn't it?
Quinton Lynch at Aquinas, he's fantastic. He's had a fantastic AFL career. There's Shane Woden, who's an assistant at Wesley College. Darren Harris and Andrew Embley helped out at Trinity this year. Obviously, Harrow's got the gig at West Perth now, but you know he helped out towards the tail end of last season at Trinity College. So there's certainly some fantastic coaches. Jason Norris and Brad Weirer at Hale School. The list really goes on. So
you got the turncoat Ryan Turnbull over at Scotch with.
yeah, exactly. And then obviously, you know, Rob Wiley's helping out at Christchurch as well, and guys like Anthony Grover and stuff like that. So,
yeah, the thing as well with these guys coming into school environments, and I can speak from personal experience, I reckon I've learnt more about footy from being an assistant coach next to Rob Wiley, and I can probably speak for Sam Wallace, who's the head coach at Christchurch, The amount you learn from these guys in a short space of time about footy probably outweighs everything you've learned about footy for the rest of your life. Like, it's quite incredible going from an amateur footy environment into not a professional football environment, of course, but like guys that have been in a professional environment, how much knowledge they pass on and, you know, how much more you can enjoy footy from spending a bit of time around them. It's been really, really rewarding, really great experience from my point of view. And I think the PSA competition is something that everyone should have a look at because every game means something.
Oh, absolutely. And you see, you look at someone like a Neil Erasmus, he's improved out of sight over the last year or so. He's almost transformed his body from that, you know, that forward who can take an overhead mark to a real big-bodied midfielder and just an absolute workhorse who can rack up, you know, 30, 40, 50 touches in a game. And it can drift forward and kick goals as well. You look at the people on board at Hale that have helped him there. Jason Norris, Brad Weirer,
Jason Webber,
even from Jason Webber, absolutely. Yeah, I spoke with Jason Webber last week. Obviously, the former Fremantle strength and conditioning boss who's working as in a similar sort of role at Hale School. He said that Neil barely misses a class, even the 6 a.m. ones and stuff like that, you know, getting into sessions before and after school. It just shows how much, you know, he's making the most of the resources that are available for him. And, you know, no surprise that he's being talked about as a potential top 10 pick.
So as we talk about him and we look forward to the draft, Fremantle's first pick at pick 6, would he be the man that you're penciling in as probably their ideal candidate for that pick?
I think there's a few that Fremantle should look at with pick 6 and pick 8, certainly from a WA point of view, at least. I think Jai Amos is certainly in the mix, and he's first sharp shooter who kicked 53 goals, 15 for the year. So that's just remarkable. He's head and shoulders above the rest at Colts level, considering he still lives in Busselton and was finishing year 12. And, you know, it's a 5-hour round trip from Busselton. So, you know, he's obviously pretty taxed by the end of it. He hurt his knee in, I think it was the grand final curtain raiser for the WA19s. Play and unfortunately didn't test at the combine either, but he's certainly one that would slot in nicely there for Freo.
Is he someone that could potentially lead the line, or is he more of a second or third man, do you think, as he matures?
Well, he's 195 centimetres, so he's certainly a good size. Hasn't played any senior footy yet, but you know, with a bit of footy under his belt for Peel or something. Next year, if he does make it to Freo, I think the sky's the limit for him. Get him in a professional environment. He was training at 3 or 4 different places a week during the season. So, you know, he'd do state training, he'd do East Perth training, he'd do a specialist training with a few of the other Southwest boys down there, and then he'd train with Buswood and his local side as well. So
that's what people don't realise when these kids get on the road to the draft. And I've got a mate who's used to be the manager of the State 18, so I'm going to try and get him on next week just to talk about what these kids go through. People don't realise the disjointed season they have and the various different coaches giving them probably different messages, the different teammates, the different team structures they play in. It's a difficult year for a lot of these kids, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of them are chopping and changing between teams. You look at someone like a Corey Warner who, you know, 1 week he's playing for Aquinas, next week he's playing league footy for East Fremantle. He finished playing Colts footy in the finals for East Fremantle. He had a State 19s game or two there. It's four different sides in a year. It's you know, it's a lot to get your head around when you're 17, 18 years old. So
and a lot of times from week to week, and I just know from Gussie, like, you might get called up to the 19s or 18s or whatever it was 1 week, and then next week they'll say, no, go play for your school, you know, and they'll know like 2-3 days beforehand. So, you know, they've got to be right onto it. But
this year especially, I think with, you know, state 19s games getting cancelled because of borders, you know, last minute stuff, and, you know, they might be thinking, you know, on the Thursday that they are going to play for the state that weekend, and then might be a COVID case over East or in SA or whatever, and then they're back to PSA or Colts level. Yeah, it's, certainly a lot to get your head around.
So as far as that pick six goes, and you might not want me to put you on the spot, but I'm going to try. Like, if you're Frio, who are you going for? Are you going for that mid forward, or are you going for the key forward at six?
I think the Nat Fife shoulder issues at the moment, it's obviously been a real talking point over the last week or so, the complications with shoulder surgery and the infection and that sort of thing. The way Nat Fife is talking, it's not looking that great, is it, unfortunately? So,
well, shoulder, if you had a shoulder or you got a mate that's had a shoulder, it's definitely not straightforward. Like, every mate that I've had that's had a shoulder injury and had a shoulder reconstruction just constantly complains how sore their shoulder is. I know these guys are getting better care, but surely, like, it's not that much of a difference. He's going to give him trouble.
And he's had a few as well, so it's certainly a concern there. So, that might change their thinking. And I feel like Erasmus is a little bit in that Fife mould in the way he's that big-bodied midfielder, really strong overhead, can, drift forward and kick goals.
Yeah.
With Fife sort of coming towards the, he's had some injury troubles. David Mundy's coming towards the end of his career as well. It's probably going to be his last season. So,
don't say that. Hang on. careful.
Actually, that's true. We have been saying it's his last season for about 5 years. And what did he finish in the Doi? Probably top three or top five.
And the Brownlow?
And the Brownlow as well. Yeah, Frio's top vote getter in the Brownlow. So, hey, I'm not saying he deserves to retire at the end of this year. You never know with Dave Mundy. He's like a 4-1, isn't he? But obviously Adam Chera leaving for Carlton. So I think, midfield does certainly seem like the main aim for Frio. Peter Bell's spoken a little bit about the need for that outside run, but Jordan Clark certainly addresses that. Yep. So, whether they need to address that further with their second or third pick, but I think someone like an Erasmus would be a good fit at Frio, and Matty Johnson as well. He's Subiaco teammate. He could certainly fill that Adam Chera mould in terms of that classy kind of midfielder. He's probably one of the best kicks in the draft, if not the best kick in the draft. He's got those Scott Pendlebury comparisons.
People love a Pendlebury comparison, so that's good. I'm glad
they
you did do, that.
They do, yeah. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the basketball background like Scott Pendlebury, and everyone mentions all the time. So, yeah. But it does seem like time goes slow when Matt Johnson has the ball in hand. He's a remarkable young kid. I think he's about 192 centimetres, so a couple of centimetres taller than Neil. But, they've worked tremendously together when they get the opportunity to play alongside each other in the midfield at Subi.
It's interesting you talk about, the Erasmus versus Johnson kind of comparison. And just strictly speaking from a Fremantle point of view, look at who they've drafted recently. And foot skills seem to be held in a really high regard. And that's what makes me think, everyone likes Erasmus. I like Erasmus. But you can't discount the chance that they're going to just go ahead and pick Johnson ahead of him, can you?
Yeah, exactly. I think, the whole foot skills debate is... It's a big one, especially with Frio's ball use. It's been knocked for quite a while, even with the newish coach in Justin Longmuir. I think that is an area they still need to improve, not just goal kicking, but around the ground. So someone like Matt Johnson should be in their sights if they want to shore up their ball use. I think Neil, that's probably the one knock on his game is his kicking. It's certainly improved, but It's still a little bit of work in progress. I can't really fault him in too many other areas. He's a fantastic kid. He works tirelessly hard, and no doubt when he gets into an AFL environment, the kicking will certainly improve out of sight.
I haven't seen Matt Johnson play much, to be honest, except for the highlights on TV. But as far as Erasmus goes, I remember seeing him as a year 10, and not many year 10s stand out, and you say, that kid can play, but he was one of them. And I know he's had a few injury problems over the last couple of years as well. That's kind of held him back, but he's got upside, I think, that probably people don't understand.
Absolutely. And it was only this year that it was his first footy pre-season, because he's a gun cricketer as well. And he was sort of doing the whole footy cricket, but he really wanted to focus on his footy ahead of this year. Finally got a full pre-season under his belt, and he has just absolutely stormed up the draft chart. So that's a credit to him and the work he's put in to improve his game. And obviously AFL clubs are taking notice.
Except for West Coast. So we got... Well, do you know, what is the story there? I don't quite understand the story. Did that, was that an administrative oversight, or like what? How could you not list that guy as an NGA? I don't understand.
I did ask Neil about this at the combine, so I think it was more on his end and his family's end. It was during cricket season. I think they sent them the paperwork, and they sort of put it aside. And I think by the time it was his 16th birthday, which is the cutoff, they'd already forgotten about it or whatnot. So I think
he just went up and just went up a notch in the listeners' books. Doesn't want to be part of West Coast, so. I reckon pick six, Erasmus. No,
he's actually a West Coast supporter.
Don't say that.
I guess in the end it doesn't really matter. Yeah, he's going to go top 10, if not top 20. So, yeah, I think, it didn't matter in the end, but I guess it would have been nice for them to have him in there. But, yeah, in the end, he's worked hard at Hale and at Subi to push his draft case, and yeah, he's certainly going to get picked up.
Absolutely. So pick six, if you think Freo will probably take the best mid on the board, and we did discuss the idea that maybe they could go for a miss, but you know, we're kind of thinking midfielder with pick eight or pick 10 or whatever it's going to become, does that change then? Do you then look at the best forward if you take a mid, or if you took a forward, do you then look at the best mid? Which way do you think it goes? Is it possible you just take best player available at both spots?
I think the best available is always a pretty good and pretty common strategy. So I think they'll assess their options there. There's Josh Richelli. He's a gun small forward in the mould of a Toby Green. So I know they've shown quite a bit of interest in him. If they do decide to go with an interstate talent, I'm not sure if they're, you know, a little bit gun shy after the whole Adam Chera stuff, after, you know, he left after 4 years. So be interesting to see if they do go local. I feel like there's certainly enough local talent within that sort of pick six and pick eight range. So I'd like to think they'd go with it, but I'm certain Josh Richelli's in the mix there from the Murray Bush Rangers.
This is the year though for the WA player, and you know, quite often the WA boys haven't fallen within the range where Freo were going to pick, and it seems like this year there is just a collection of guys that would really fit need, and you know, are probably going to be close to best player available when the Dockers pick. And that hasn't always happened, but it seems this year there could be a bunch of guys that will fit for need and be best player available and be available probably around when the Dockers pick.
Absolutely, yeah. You look at pick 19, I think Jacob Van Rooyen, if he's still on the board, he's obviously climbed a little bit in the back half of the year with, you know, showing his ability to play as a key back as well as a key forward. I think he'd be a perfect fit for Freo. He can play at obviously both ends of the ground. He's a really aggressive kid in terms of, you know, his contested footy and just attack at the footy as well. Freo's supporter as well, which, you know, a bit of a romance there, I guess, isn't it? That a kid supporting Freo his whole life ends up there. He trained at the Dockers earlier in the year as part of the AFL Academy stuff.
Was Aaron Norton a Freo supporter? It didn't seem like there was much romance there, and then we'd probably kill for him now.
Yeah, I think I feel like he might have been a Collingwood supporter.
Oh, really?
Off the top of my head. Okay. He was really keen to go over East, but yeah, I think any slight romance there would have been killed when he got dropped for the grand final for the Dockers Alliance sign. So yeah. I think that would have killed any link there, unfortunately. So.
The gap between a Van Rooyen and an Amiss, like, how big is it, do you think? I mean, coming in, Van Rooyen seemed to be the guy that was rated, and Amiss, you know, he seems to have really escalated his stock in the last 12, 15 months. How do you see the two of them?
Well, I think with Amiss, he had a few, off the top of my head, I think it was lower back injuries, so he did miss a couple of years, or at least, you know, the best part of a couple of years. He got back a little bit last year, but he almost was coming from quite a way back.
It felt
like when I was doing my draft predictions last year for the 2021 guys, that Van Rooyen was right up there. He might have even been number one off the top of my head. It might have been.
I feel like he was right up there in a lot of people's estimations, and he seems to have almost slid for no real good reason. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think his form at senior level, when he started the year at senior level, and it wasn't great, but then it was found that he had glandular fever. So, I think he has sort of dropped down the pecking order a little bit, but I think it's almost a little bit unfair for what he achieved in the back half of the year after such an interrupted start to the year. I think he would be an absolute bargain at pick 19. I think, if all went to plan this year and he wasn't sick and, he ended up playing some really good senior footy at the start, he wouldn't have gone back to Colts and dominated in the back half of the year. So, I think he could have nearly been a top 10 if things went to plan this year. So
I feel like he's got heartbreak for Freo written all over him. He's got like 15 to 17 and we just miss out on him written all over him.
Spot on, yeah. It's probably happened a few times over the years. But
yeah,
I'd like to see him at the Dockers. I think that would be a cool little story.
Well, it would be a good spot for him as well. Plenty of opportunity, plenty of clean road in front of you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think Freo's forward line is certainly still a work in progress. Rory Lobb, obviously,
it very, very politely, isn't it? Work in progress.
Very, very politically correct. I think there's certainly some room for improvement there, and someone like a Van Ryan would be a really nice fit. He's already had that senior experience under his belt, and give him a full pre-season in an AFL environment, and he's only going to improve and push his case for an early season debut. So I think he's certainly worth a look at with that pick 19 if he's still available. Unfortunately, I don't think Jesse Motlop will be. I obviously wrote that story early in the year about that little quirk in the Next Generation Academy rules where myself and a lot of Freo supporters thought that it was only going to be a top 20 protected zone with Jesse, but because he was in Indigenous Metro WA, Metro WA and Metro SA, they're both a top 40 protected zone. So
you've got to be pretty onto it to keep up with these rules, don't you?
Yeah, because it wasn't actually written down. I found out in a kind of random sort of way. I wasn't even actually chasing the story at the time. And I remember tweeting the story and quite a few, not angry Fremantle fans. Well, they weren't angry at me as such. It was more like they were second guessing it a little bit, so that they were searching the rules and it didn't actually, I couldn't actually find it written down anywhere. So it was quite a bizarre one.
I think some of these rules that AFL make up, they don't actually have time to write them down before they've changed it to the next one. So it's just an assumed rule. Speaking of NGA guys, Eric Benning, he's someone who really seems to have raised in estimations over the course of time. It seems to be like his stock is rising as each day ticks by. How do you see him? And is he only a prospect because he's NGA eligible, or do you think if he wasn't, there'd be interest otherwise?
I think his stocks have certainly risen from a kid who is, he's a free hitter as a Cat B rookie, who's certainly probably, a bit better developed than a couple of the Dockers kids that had probably gone Category B before. So it seemed like...
You're not talking about my man, Izzy Butters.
Oh, I do love Izzy Butters.
Mate, he's my favourite all-time Freo Docker, and he never played.
No, he's a good kid, Izzy. I do remember his Waffle Colts Grand Final a couple of years back when he kicked three or four goals, I think it was. It was an outstanding Grand Final. Then little Leno Thomas at the other end with the match-saving smother. So,
sorry to take the conversation somewhere it shouldn't go, but if you saw some of the stuff that Izzy did, at training and, some of the PSA games he played in, you're just like, how is this kid not playing the AFL? I'll say it, he's too lazy. He's got to, if he put in the hard work, he could have been something. And I wish he'd just dig in and get in and do it. He's still plodding away at Claremont Reserves, but, yeah, he's got some talent, that guy.
It's a shame, yeah. It's one of those ones that, it might click for him a couple of years down the track.
Yeah.
Obviously, at Claremont, unable to break into the senior side, really. It's a strong side at the moment, the Tigers, but hopefully, you know, a big pre-season and he might be able to sneak into the one and really push his case for a second chance.
So do you think Benning gets a bid, though?
I think so, yeah. I don't think it'll be in the top 20. I think he'll definitely end up at Fremantle.
Yeah.
You know, whether the bid ends, you know, in the 20s or the 30s or the 40s or whatnot, I think he'll end up with going in the national draft.
Yeah.
I think Freo will have to match a bid in the national draft. But, yeah, it certainly wasn't looking that way. It felt like a rookie/cap B one point. But, yeah, he's really improved.
To be honest, it's a good result for all parties, right? Like, you know, I know Tendai Mazumbu puts in a lot of effort with these NGA kids. And, you know, to get Eric in a position where other clubs are looking at him and wanting him. And, that, I mean, that's a success story of the NGA. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been told that, you know, rival AFL clubs describe him as a perfect NGA selection and what the program's all about. Tendai had a big hand in identifying him up in Kununurra. He was playing for Wurundjeri Crows up in Kununurra. He's playing senior footy at a very early age there, and was just one of those Dockers sort of NGA trips up there. And Tendai saw something in him, as did Geordie Smith, the Claremont talent manager. Yep. You know, a couple of links there, obviously his Waffle Club and where he is NGA-wise as well. So, he's been outstanding this year. He moved to Perth only in February. I think COVID kind of delayed his move from Kununurra. He's studying sports science at UWA, so he's certainly kicking goals off the field and really well-spoken young man as well, with a really bright future. So I think Fremantle have certainly got a ripper there in that respect, and you know, hopefully they can get him for a bargain as well, and don't have to match too high of a bid.
But I think this is one of the real good stories of the NGA kind of program. And you look at some of the guys that have gone to other clubs, you know, even with the Bulldogs last year taking Hugo Hagen at number one, and to a lesser extent, you know, even Liam Henry going to Freo. I mean, I feel like the Eric Benning story, this is what we need to hear more about when it comes to these NGA prospects, and whether they refine the criteria for what makes an NGA player or someone eligible. This is what you want, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think one NGA story from over east is Mac Andrew,
yeah.
Who I think he was born in Egypt from South Sudanese heritage. Off the top of my head, he's in Melbourne Next Generation Academy, but unfortunately the change in rules this year, I think that's a bit of a disappointment for Melbourne, because they put so much time and effort into him, and
shattering.
You know, he's absolutely, he's almost certainly going to end up in the top 10 of the national draft to another club. So yeah, Melbourne would be kicking themselves about the rule change. Just one year too early for them.
Yeah. So as far as this kind of pick 19, you know, we even heard Peter Bell during the trade period discuss about, you know, its kind of intrinsic value of being the first pick on the second day of the draft. Overnight, clubs have an opportunity to see who's on the board. Maybe someone that they rated at pick 9 still available at pick 19. You might get an offer that you can't refuse for this pick. Might mean splitting, might mean moving back, might mean a future pick. So it does kind of put the Dockers in conversation for players anywhere from 19 to 30. Would you agree with that? Even later?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think it's a very valuable asset, pick 19. We saw Port Adelaide trade it a couple of years ago when Brisbane were really keen. Yeah, Dev Robertson, that's right. The Perth/Northern/Aquinas College product, who's he had an outstanding second season for Brisbane this year. The Lions were really keen to, you know, trade up and get him, and Port Adelaide obviously had other ideas, so they managed to trade up and get some good, or trade down, sorry, and get some good draft commodity in the process. So
the only reason I bring it up is that's the only way I see my man Gus Sheldrick getting to Freo. Like, surely someone picks him in that 20 to 40 range.
it feels like it at the moment. He's gone from an outside chance of a rookie gig to not a certainty of top 30, but definitely in the mix. What an outstanding year he's had. I don't think I've seen him play a bad game, to be honest, even when he is on one leg like he was in the Waffle Colts Grand Final. Outstanding young kid as well. So,
you did an article with his old man, didn't you? He's also a massive legend.
Yes, yeah.
Dom.
Dom Sheldrick. He's obviously an ex-Australian swimmer and, an absolute legend of a bloke as well. He could not have been any more generous with his time with me. So, great family. I can certainly see where Gus gets it from. And, I wish him all the best. He certainly deserves his opportunity because he's worked his butt off for it.
Yeah, no, I could agree with that. And the thing, sorry to harp on him, I just want to talk about Gus for another minute, but he's got better every single step of the way up. And every time someone's thought, he's not quite up to it, he shines. And he you look at this State 19s campaign where he's gone from being told, I don't know if you're in our best 23, I don't know if you're in the squad, to almost, first choice midfielder. So
yeah, you're spot on. Yeah.
If that pick at 20-40, you're getting unreal value, and no one will know the effort that he goes through. I've seen Liam go through and the work he put in to make it to the AFL. Gussie is like almost on another level. He is unbelievable. So
I agree with you there, 100%. Like I said, I haven't seen him play a bad game, no matter what the level. And the WA 19 selectors told him straight out that we don't think you're in the 23, or you're going to find it tough to make it in the 23. And Adam Jones, the state talent manager, tells me a bit of a story that by the end of that meeting, he looked at Mark Webb, the 19 coach, and thought, I think he's going to not cause a bit of trouble, but he's going to prove us wrong here, and he certainly did that. He went from a fringe squad member to one of the most important players. I think if they voted across the three games for an MVP, I think it'd certainly be...
It'd be up there, wouldn't he?
In the mix there, yeah.
I remember a game at Scotch, I think it was year 11. They had a guy hitting him on the way into the contest and another guy waiting the other side of the contest to get him on the way out and did his collarbone.
I think that might have even been one of the live stream games that I covered off the top of my head. I think, he certainly got plenty of attention, didn't he, from...
Mate, and then the Tuesday at training, any other kid would be off, or at least Christchurch kid, any other kid would be off at their physio or doing some remedial treatment. He's got the bike out on the sidelines at training, getting stuck in with the shoulder in a sling. I can't believe it was only a rookie prospect to start with, and any club that takes him, they're going to be wrapped. There's a couple other guys there around that range. You look at the Josh Cripses, Tajwa Woden, like these kind of guys. Is there anyone there that you think Freo could possibly even try and trade back for to have a crack at? Corey Warners?
That's an interesting question. Warner, maybe? I think Warner is, he could fit that, that outside run need if they do think of, further adding that. If they think Jordan Clark isn't enough and they want that little bit more depth, I think Corey Warner could fit that mould. He runs all day. He's an absolute workhorse as well. He tested so well at the combine. He recorded that many top three and top five results. He's played some senior footy at East Fremantle, and he's a pretty powerful kid. He's deceptively powerful, and he's got a few similar traits of his brother. They're two different types of footballers, but in terms of their work ethic and competitiveness and that sort of thing, that might just be a family trait there with the Warners. And apparently there's a couple more coming through the ranks as well to keep an eye on.
These some of these names, they just keep popping up, don't they? There must be something in the genes, something in the water.
And they all look quite similar as well. They've all got the blonde tips as well. So I think there might be one coming through the first 18 ranks next year. Ashton, I think his name is. So, another one of the Warner brothers to keep an eye out for.
Well, I won't keep you much longer, mate. I probably kept you way too long as it is. But have you got a draft smoky for us? Have you got, you know, we've seen the Dockers trade back in. They got a couple of picks real late, you know, in the 60s. Is there a name we haven't heard? Is there someone that no one's really speaking of that you think could be on the radar for AFL clubs that's going to come out of WA?
Not sure. I've covered quite a few kids over the last couple of years, and you know, maybe someone like a Bryce Watson hasn't been talked about that much. He seems to be attracting a little bit of interest.
He's another defender.
Swan District. What's that? Sorry.
He's a defender. Is that another thing of the right guy?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like a rebounding defender with, you know, really good foot skills and just the ability to I guess run and carry from defence as well. So, you know, he might be another one to address that outside run need. I think Josh Cripps is certainly worth a look to do what he did in the back half of the year after coming from a whole year out with a long term knee injury. I think was really impressive. You know, he spent the preseason doing rehab, not a proper.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's seen the best of him, have they?
Oh no, not at all. I think he improved out of sight in the back half of the season at all, and he was battling shin splints at the end as well. So he had this real purple patch of about three or four games where I think he kicked about 12 or 13 goals. So I think he's certainly worth a look. He obviously comes from good stock. He's the younger brother of Carlton captain Patrick Cripps, and I know he's spoken with Carlton. I'm not sure how much or how significant the interest is there, but yeah, I think he's certainly one that Frio should have a look at. Their tall forward stocks aren't the greatest, and there's certainly quite a few in WA this year. Jack Williams as well. He'll probably go, I think, second or third round at this stage. Another kid from East Frio who's played a bit of everything, really. He's played key forward, key back. Played, you know, pinch hit in the ruck as well. So
yeah, those guys that can be versatile like that and go ruck forward back. You peg them in this spot, but it seems like AFL clubs really value that versatility, don't they?
Like definitely, yeah. That's why I think someone like a Van Ryan, who's shown he can do it at national under 19s level, such a valuable commodity. One that you can just have that sort of confidence, like an Aaron Norton type, that you can just swing it at either end of the ground. So, yeah, I think he's worth his weight in gold. In terms of outsiders, I'm trying to think if there's many. I've liked Luke Paulson's game a little bit at Peel Thunder key forward, who reminded me a little bit of Jack Darling in a way.
He drops a lot of marks.
Yeah, no. This is definitely a Frio podcast. Yeah. No, that's
out of order.
I'm not sure how much interest he's getting, but you know, he's certainly shown a little bit. I think he's more of an outside chance of getting picked up, but I think he's certainly shown a little bit. Brady Hoff, he's Peel Thunder teammate who won the Colts BNF. He's sort of come from nowhere. He's playing country footy last year, and you know, he's a real versatile sort of talent that can play, you know, midfield, wing, half back, half forward, can play a bit of anything really. So yeah, there's certainly going to be a lot of value, I think, with
I didn't mind Brody. From what I saw of him, I thought he offered a bit, but it
absolutely, yeah,
feels like it might be a little bit tough being kind of non-credentialed West Australian, South Australian in this draft, due to the fact that, like, you know, we all know majority of the draftees come from Victoria, and due to the lack of exposure, if you're going to take a punt on someone, you're probably going to take a punt on some kid that you haven't seen in Victoria, right? Like, just because of the depth of talent they always have, but we don't know where it is.
Yeah, absolutely. One other kid that he was invited to the combine, so there's obviously that little bit of interest there, but Jamal Stretch, he's from Halls Creek, and just a real exciting forward, a bit of a human highlight reel as such. I mean, yeah, some of the marks he took in Colts this year and some of the goals he kicked were pretty special. And, Fremantle could have had him in their Next Generation Academy, but they didn't really know much about him. He sort of come a little bit from nowhere, moved moved down from Halls Creek this year, and you know, to play state 19s in his first season of yeah. Waffle Colts, and obviously make the combine list as well. He showed a little bit. I think he's more of an outside chance of getting picked up, but he would have been nice as a cap B if Freo had him in their next gen, but unfortunately they didn't get in at the time and obviously didn't know too much about him.
He's our Neil Erasmus.
Yeah, exactly right.
Mate, thank you so much for giving up your time this afternoon. I won't keep you too much longer. Looks like you have a lot of content for the West, with a whole host of West Australian kids probably ending up on the list one way or another, whether it's the primary list or the rookie list. Really appreciate your insights, and I'm sure our listeners appreciate giving us a perspective, maybe from a little bit of a Fremantle point of view.
No worries at all, mate. Hopefully I was of some use. I'm working on a feature at the moment for this weekend on young Arthur Jones from Claremont and Wesley College. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that one. I interviewed him earlier in the day, and he's an absolutely ripping kid. So, whoever gets him is going to get an absolute beauty.
Oh, once again, thank you very much for joining us, and, wish you all the best with the draft coverage, and I'm sure everyone's really enjoying it.
Thanks, Brad, and hopefully Freo fans get what they want and hopefully get a few WA kids as well, because there's certainly some good talent.
Oh, can you hear the dog? This is what happens on amateur productions. Maybe it's a good time to leave it there. Thanks, mate.
No worries, mate. Happy to help.
Cheers. Thanks very much to Jordan McArdle for coming in and joining us. You can find him at Jordan_MC12 on Twitter. Also, his articles are online at The West Australian, also printed, obviously, in the physical publication. Does some great work, and I hope everyone got something out of that, because I know we certainly did, or the Chief probably will if he gets around to listening to it once he's finished his third or fourth or fifth course of lunch. We'll be back next week, hopefully with another special guest, again, focusing on the draft, maybe a little bit different this time. The journey, you know, that a 17, 18-year-old kid takes in that final year before the draft. They've got the year 12 studies, 2, 3, 4, different teams, different coaches. We want to get an expert's insight into what it's really like for these kids before they hit draft day, the kind of trials and tribulations they go through. That's it for today. We'll see you next week. And since the Chief's not here, in the words of Ross the Boss, are you still down with the restump?
We don't rebuild, but we restump, we rewire, we replumb.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah.